referring to this dress here that I wore on Wednesday when she writes, quote, tight belted dresses look. She uses a derogatory word to belittle people with disabilities. I won't repeat it, so I'll just say ridiculous. Tight belted dresses look ridiculous on pregnant women. The side view is disgusting. Wear clothes that fit, for God's sakes. End quote.
That is KSDK news anchor Allie Corey. If you haven't watched her on KSDK in a while, she is with child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that
and she has been for a while.
Yeah, so yeah. She won't be after a little bit here.
Nope, I don't know how much towards the end of it. I believe.
She's hopefully everything's healthy. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Mark Harkes. By the way, if you want to read the news story about that bill that would require people to purchase guns, just go to 971talk.com and you can find it there in the news section. Okay, so what she was, and we'll get to Allie Corey's response here in just a moment, but basically, she wore this dress that was form-fitting, and she's obviously really, really pregnant. I mean, I know it's either you are or you aren't, but she's very far along.
Well, it shouldn't matter either way, whether right. She was or wasn't and was wearing a dress.
Right. So you know, there, I guess, sometimes if you're in the media business, whether
she gets comments like these all the time.
Well, mm-hmm. I think all women do.
Yes. And we do. And the men.
We do. We get comments like that all the time. Yes. I mean, not... Yeah. About our physical appearance, because it's radio, so.
But yes.
But yeah, somebody's always saying something nasty.
Yeah. Oh, if you don't have thick skin, you're not going to make it in a lot of businesses, including this one. Now, I mean, there's a lot of media people that just like, oh, it's so hard. People are so mean. We're not martyrs here, okay?
Yeah.
We talk about what we think and get paid for it. You know, I do it on television. I do it on radio. We all do it. So, you know, it's not about the media business, okay? There is some truth in that, hey, if you sign up for a job in the public eye, you have to expect that you're going to get some of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people that are doing that are usually looking for a reaction. It's like attention seeking, less about putting a point out there and more about, hey, look at me, I can say mean things.
Right. And that's
I'm
going to
rip on a pregnant lady. Mm-hmm. I've got really nothing else to do.
You're bored today.
Yeah.
Keyboard commando. Mm-hmm. So then it's, you know, I just honestly ignore when I get those messages and everything. And I noticed over the weekend, I've got a YouTube channel that I don't put a lot on, but I put a lot of my previous video production work on there. One of the things that I did was a documentary segment on slave cabins in the state. There's like 1,100 slave cabins still standing in our state. And so I did a mini documentary for Missouri Life magazine, and that's up there. So if you want to see it, just look up Mike Ferguson Media on YouTube. But I did this documentary segment like 3-4 years ago, something like that. And I guess it's getting shared around somewhere because I got a bunch of comments over the last couple months. I didn't even know I had them. And one of them was basically, you know, calling me like pro-Muslim. You know, I'm too weak on these things. I mean, it just made no sense whatsoever. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, somebody's really detached from reality, so I don't even worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Most of the trolling doesn't make sense. It's just inflammatory.
Oh, yeah.
No sense, but what Allie Corey got hit with is very personal.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that I want to, you know,
I was
be
like,
all
does the
PC.
Person that made the comment want to go back to the days where, like, pregnant women weren't allowed to be, like, they couldn't even teach, you know,
right,
they couldn't be, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be seen, like, this is some embarrassing thing that we're faced with? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, here's her comment. Here's Allie Corey's response to that comment and why she chose to actually address it on the air.
So here's the lesson that I'm hoping this comment will spread. What if the person at the receiving end of this comment was going through tough times? What if they were unstable, insecure, or depressed? Could this have been the last straw for them? Well, someone who knows that all too well is St. Charles mother Tina Meyer. She has become a close friend of mine over the years, as Five on Your Side and myself have championed anti-bullying efforts throughout the St. Louis area. You probably know her for the foundation she started 10 years ago in her daughter's memory.
Yeah.
Her 13-year-old daughter, Megan, took her life after being cyberbullied online. The people responsible, a mother, and her teenaged daughter.
Yeah, now I know Tina Meyer as well. She's been on my show a number of times, but I really like how Allie Corey. I mean, I've never met her, so I'm like, hey, my friend Allie. I don't know her personally, but I like how she did not say that this is about her, that she didn't play the victim. She just basically said, okay, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying.
And it makes sense for her to comment on that, if considering this has been a cause of hers. That's what makes it like, it wasn't just like, I'm going to take this personally, so I'm going to call this person out. It was like, look, this is something that I'm a part of. I've been working on trying to bring awareness to this. So look, it did happen.
Here's
to
a good
me.
Example.
So here, right. it's still sure. going on. Here's a story.
And she would have been justified in calling this person out.
Sure.
I think so. I mean, I think had that happened, you know, we'd be saying, hey, you know what? If you can take it, you better be ready to give it, and you don't pick a fight with somebody with a bigger platform than you. But she didn't. I thought she handled it with a lot of class.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the counter argument to that, though, if she's not, doesn't have a background in activism
then
with it,
just, then it kind of
you're,
is petty.
You're giving attention to somebody that's a troll. It's the same reason we don't, we don't like, I would never get on, I read some of these things that get sent in our inbox here on Facebook, and we read them in the studio, and we're like, that's gross, or that was, but what they want is that attention. So you're actually kind of fueling a flame. I think she handled it nicely.
Yeah.
And I understand why she did it, but I think for the most part, it's good in this business to avoid it because you do have the platform, and that's what they want is the attention.
Yeah. And I think I agree with you over 50% of that. But at the same time, I am not one of those who thinks that, you know, I do think we need to toughen up in society. I really do.
Absolutely.
I do. That's why I do the same thing that you do.
Sure.
I ignore the trolls. I ignore, you know, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, again, I think that responding by saying, listen, this doesn't affect me. This could affect other people. Let me draw some attention to it. And I do think the idea that somebody's comments on social media can cause you to harm yourself or somebody else, I think, is a bad reflection on us getting soft as individuals and a society. So I do think we do need to be tougher on that sort of thing, individually speaking. But the fact of the matter is a lot of people aren't. And so what Allie did was say, I'm going to take this aimed at me and I'm going to redirect this to somebody else. Because there have been other cases where news personalities have hit back over things, and it's always women who get hammered on these things. I remember one, I don't remember the name of the reporter, I don't remember where she was from, but she's a little bit bigger, and somebody, you know, basically sent one of those, you got to lose some weight, that's gross kind of things. And so she went on there and went on a body shaming rant. She got a lot of attention for it, a lot of accolades for it. But that's a situation where I would say, ignore it. With this one, she had an opportunity to point people to a different direction.
No, I agree that she was, I think she made an eloquent point at the right time using the right context. I think this is the exception to the rule of
that
doing
that.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. All right. Was Senator Roy Blunt, among many others, right in voting against President Trump's emergency declaration? Josh Hawley voted with the president. Roy Blunt voted against him, saying he's still in agreement with the president.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
president on immigration policy overall, but that particular declaration was not a good idea. John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation joins us just ahead to give us his thoughts. I want to know what you think. 866-455-9797. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox. This next interview, so give me a call, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797, or you can tweet at us. You can tweet at FM News Talk 97.1, or you can tweet at M Ferguson Media. Okay, late last week, by the way, I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox.
Morning,
I've been here so many times, I've you know... I'm hoping everybody remembers. Okay, so late last week, President Trump has an emergency declaration. He's going to act unilaterally. He's going to put funding at the border to build the wall. The Senate takes a vote. 12 Republicans, including Missouri's Roy Blunt, votes against the president, basically killing the emergency declaration. Was that the right move? Because the question with a lot of the Republicans who voted against the president isn't so much whether or not they agree or disagree with him on immigration. It's whether or not they think this particular action was the right way to do it. I'm joined now by John Malcolm. He's the director of the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. John, it's great to talk to you. And I know you've done some writing on this. And so the argument being, we agree with the president on immigration, but we disagree with him taking unilateral action. Is there a constitutional basis for what Senator Blunt and the others are saying?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be with you, Mike. I want to take issue with one thing you said in the lead-in, which is this has not killed what the president has done. So what happened is the president went to Congress, asked them for money in order to build a barrier along the southern border. They didn't give it to him, and he looked at the situation along the border and said, I think the situation is worsening and worsening rapidly, therefore I'm going to declare an emergency. He invoked the National Emergencies Act, which is a post-Watergate law. It's been invoked by presidents over 50 times in the past, and he said, I'm going to, well, he wanted $8.1 billion. He's now asking for $8.6 billion in his new budget. He got almost all of it, $4.5 billion of this. He either got from Congress or from other statutes that don't involve a declaration of a national emergency. One statute dealing with military construction projects, from which he wants to get $3.6 million, is contingent on his declaring a national emergency. When you invoke the National Emergencies Act, you have to send a notice to Congress of what statutes you're relying upon to do what it is you want to do and why you think there's an emergency. Congress then gets to vote and can try to pass a joint resolution declaring that emergency declaration null and void. That has happened. The House passed this resolution. The Senate, as you said, with 12 Republicans crossing over, passed that resolution. But that resolution is like a regular law, and the president has now vetoed that resolution. So he is going to keep doing what he is doing unless 2/3 of both houses of Congress override his veto, and the votes just aren't there.
Yeah, not in the Senate in particular. There's no way. Well, one of the arguments, let me ask you about this, John.
Sure.
John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation. I've heard some arguments saying, okay, we agree that there is an emergency when it comes to illegal immigration, particularly across the southern border. But this isn't about President Trump. This is about possibly President
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Kamala Harris, Tulsi Gabbard, or Joe Biden, or Bernie Sanders, saying that if we have this kind of power, if it's unchecked, obviously it's not completely unchecked.
Right.
But if we give it to President Trump, we've got to be ready for somebody from the other side to use this power, and they may not do what we want them to do with it or what we think is right with it. Is there's got to be some validity in that argument, or at least that discussion, right?
Well, yeah. So, you know, first of all, that power exists. It's not as if President Trump is invoking this for the first time. As I say, presidents have invoked the National Emergencies Act over 50 times. There are still 31 prior declarations of national emergencies from both President Trump. It's not even the first time President Trump has done this. But there are 31 declarations of national emergency that are still in existence. They've been in existence for years. But the argument is, look, we never envisioned this. The situation at the border has been bad for a long time. It is not, in fact, getting discernibly worse. You are talking about declaring an emergency and bringing in the armed forces. This is going beyond, you know, it goes past a line. And if you can do this for this kind of a quote-unquote emergency, future presidents can do this for gun control, climate change, fill in the blank. And I will. There's a point to this, but it's cabined. The National Emergencies Act is a broad delegation of power. Congress has, over the years through all sorts of laws, delegated lots of lawmaking authority, in my opinion, to executive branch agencies and occasionally to the president. The National Emergencies Act does not define either the term emergency, much less what a national emergency is. It's a broad delegation of power. So there's that point. On the other hand, when a president invokes the NEA, he has to talk about what other statute he is going to rely upon to do what it is he wants to do. And so far as I know, there are no other statutes on the federal books that say if there's a climate change emergency, you can do away with aerosol cans or something like right. that. So it is a broad delegation of authority. Congress may regret having given President Trump that broad a delegation. They may try to amend the statute to rein it in, but it's not a limitless grant of authority.
All right, John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation, @Malcolm_John, obviously heritage.org, and that's where your writing is on this particular right now at Heritage, right?
Yep.
Okay, John, hey, appreciate the insight. Appreciate the viewpoint on it. What do you think? 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. Jennifer Kuchenka joins us just ahead. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox on FM News Talk 97.1. So the race for president on the Democratic side is getting even more crowded. Beto O'Rourke.
It's hard to keep up.
Says he's in. How does this affect things? We're going to talk.
Lucky we are.
Yeah, we're actually from a talk radio perspective. Actually, he's going to give us a lot of fun.
It's the same thing with this with AOC.
Yeah.
You every time she says something, you think, oh, and then you all sing it. That's good for business.
We can talk about that exactly. So we're going to talk to Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland about that at 7:20. And get this, obviously Republicans control the state legislature here, and they all give lip service at the very least to school choice. And many are absolutely committed to making it happen. But right now in our state, it's Republicans who are blocking school choice from actually happening, increased school choice from actually happening. We're going to talk to Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute about that right around just a little bit after 7:30. But joining us right now, of course, the one, the only, Jennifer Kuchenka. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, man, so much going on in the political world, so much going on in the business world. What is new in your world?
Basketball.
Yeah. There you go.
Lots of basketball.
And St. Louis is celebrating being in the big dance again. The Billikens
yes,
made it in.
I saw that, yes.
And you are, if I remember right, Rutgers?
Yes.
Yes.
No dancing this year.
No dancing
this year. So
not then, for the men, but the women are going. We'll find out tonight.
Okay, yeah. So for the men's tournament then, who's your backup? Who's your secondary team?
Oh, I haven't studied the brackets carefully yet.
Yeah. Mm. Fair enough.
I can't wait to fill mine out.
Me too.
I love this, and I don't even watch that much basketball.
That's awesome.
My daughter is in college now, but she's always been a huge college basketball fan. Now she's actually a collegiate volleyball player, but even when she was little, my family would do those bracket tournament bragging mm-hmm. right things, and so many times, literally 3 or 4 of the years when she was little, she won it when she was a little girl because she picked the cutest mascots.
Once again, I always went colors.
Yeah,
like football helmets.
My brother and me and my cousins and my, you know, we're all like studying the numbers and everything. And then my daughter, who was like in junior high, goes, "That's a cute puppy," and she ends up winning or something. All right,
yeah, there are some strange things that happen every year, but it's so much fun.
All right, what's new, Jennifer?
All right, futures are mixed this morning after stocks closed solidly higher on Friday. And for the week last week, the Dow added 398 points. The Wall Street Journal says federal prosecutors and Transportation Department officials are scrutinizing the development of Boeing 737 MAX jetliners. Inquiries that come amid probes of regulators' safety approvals of the new plane. A grand jury issued a subpoena dated March 11th to at least one person involved in the 737 MAX's development, seeking related documents, including correspondence, emails, and other messages. The Journal also reported that the Justice Department is looking into the FAA's handling of a Boeing safety system that has been implicated in the October Lion Air crash that killed 189. Boeing shares down more than 3% in pre-market trading on the news. Southwest Airlines and a union representing its mechanics could be on the verge of ending a bitter, long-running labor dispute that has triggered hundreds of flight cancellations and raised safety concerns. The two sides announced the tentative contract agreement late Saturday after 6 years of negotiations between Southwest and the union. The deal still needs to be voted on by 2,400 mechanics who will receive a 20% raise if the contract is approved. Fidelity National Information Services of Jacksonville has agreed to acquire Ohio-based WorldPay for $35 billion, creating a global payments giant. As merchants and their customers compete for an increasing number of transactions online, the company say the combined company will combine their one-stop shop services to process online and in-store payments and manage transactions in multiple currencies. The combined company, which expects to have annual revenue of $12.3 billion, also will offer services to manage fraud and advanced data analytics. A massive new study found that the pulse sensor in Apple's watch helped detect a heart rhythm disorder in a small number of users, but may have caused false alarms for others. The study's mixed findings hint at the potential of wearable gadgets to detect some health conditions in people that might otherwise go unnoticed, but doctors say potential false positives and other aspects of the study show that people should be cautious about relying on the technology as a diagnostic tool. And forget burgers. Burger King is trying to rope you in with coffee. The fast food chain is rolling out the BK Cafe coffee subscription, which offers one small brewed cup of coffee every day at any time for $5 a month at participating restaurants. Users are allowed only one cup per visit. Also, iced coffee and other specialty coffee drinks are not included. Mike?
That sounds like BK is just saying, come back in here because you're going to buy French fries you're going to buy a croissant or whatever the case is on that. I don't remember BK's coffee being all that special, to be real honest.
Well, this makes it cheap if you go every day. $5 for a month is pretty darn cheap for coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
If there's one on your way to work.
Why not?
At the risk of offending somebody out there, if you make a daily trip to BK, you might have some other things to work out in your life.
This is true. Yeah.
Jennifer, quick question. Obviously, the Boeing story is massive. Well, there's a big interest in Boeing here in St. Louis, of course. Now, 3% doesn't sound like a lot numerically, but we are talking about a huge change and a shift as far as the actual dollars involved. But what's ahead? I mean, what are the next steps as far as the investigation of this? I mean, because this could affect jobs, this could affect...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Not just stocks, but this could affect production. This could affect a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why some of this is... very under wraps the grand jury and the reporting by the Wall Street Journal. Nobody else has this story yet, but it could be extremely bad for Boeing if they knew about this problem and the plane that crashed in Indonesia and the Ethiopia one. There was some kind of mechanical problem. That could be a very big thing, or they could get past it. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but at the same time, you know, it's something you've got to say, we've got to get all of the facts out of here. And unfortunately, when you're talking about billions of dollars and contracts and all that kind of stuff, there is a motivation to try to move this out of the headlines as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, Jennifer Kashenka, thank you so much. Good talk to you again.
Have a good day.
All right, still ahead, Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland. Let's talk the presidential race. Also, Jesse Jane Duff, gunnery sergeant, going to be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk a little bit of school choice, and maybe let's talk Egg Boy as well. I'll make sense of that just ahead. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox on FM News Talk 97.1. If you go to Google and just type in the word egg, E-G-G, what's going to pop up first, at least what popped up first for me just a little bit ago, was Egg Boy. And this has to do with a 17-year-old kid who walked up to one of their senators, you know, an Australian senator, and took an egg and hit the guy in the back of the head with his hand, crushing an egg on the guy's head. I'm Mike Ferguson, by the way, in for Mark Cox. Just for today, the number here, 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. And this kid has become like an instant hero, particularly among the left, literally worldwide. I saw this morning, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote an article about the reaction to this. You know, here's what happened. By the way, the kid's name is Will Connolly, and the senator's name is Frazier Anning. And here's the, because everybody had their cameras out, here's actually what happened. Here's the
when people are getting attacked in their own
And what you're hearing there, and this is what I want to know what you think, that senator turned around and he thought for a couple seconds, and he reached out and just smacked the crap out of this kid upside the head. I mean, open hand and just clocked
him. Good old whacking.
And the kid stepped back forward to his original position, and the kid's got his iPhone up, because that's what 17-year-olds do, is they smirk and they put a phone up, and he smacked him again. And then a bunch of people jumped in, and either, I don't know if it's just supporters or security or whatever the case is, take this kid down. And they, I mean, that was a tough headlock that they had this kid on. And he's not a very big kid. But at the same time, people are now jumping all over the senator. And again, I know nothing about Senator Frazier Anning. I don't know if he is a good guy. I don't know if he's a terrible person. I have no idea. And for this conversation, I think it's almost irrelevant. The question comes down to, if somebody, in this case a teenager, smacks you, and this isn't like he threw something at you, because you remember years ago, Rick Santorum was running for president, and gay activists would come up and throw glitter on him. Glitter bombs, I think they called it.
Okay, they did. Forgot about the glitter bombs.
It's a
bombing trend.
It's a jerk thing to do.
Yes.
I would say you don't have a right to do it, but you're not getting punched or anything like that. But this guy actually got hit by this kid. He turns around, hits the kid back. And there's now like a change.org petition with a million signatures plus demanding he be thrown out of the Senate. And the reason that this kid did this is because the senator, when asked about the New Zealand tragedy, the mass shooting at the mosque, this senator says, well, among the reasons, and I'm paraphrasing here, is New Zealand's immigration policy that allowed so many Muslims in. So this kid, you know, obviously being what we would call on the left, decides he's going to take some kind of revenge and make a statement, and people are calling him a hero. I mean, I've seen the pictures. Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them smash eggs on people's heads and stupid stuff like that. So here's the question. 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Was the senator, the adult, justified in hitting the kid back? Everybody in this room here agrees that we would all want to hit the kid back, but is he justified in doing it? Trish, you and I don't see it exactly eye to eye. I say yes. At some point, you have got to, one, there is maybe an element of self-defense, but secondly, how about if you think you're tough enough to do that to somebody, you can suffer the consequences?
I do not know Australian and New Zealand law. I just know in this country that if you're the adult and you hit a child, you're going to be in more trouble than the child's going to be, no matter who's started it. So I think right. from a...
I've seen the video now, and I think the reaction would have been, you know, he didn't care who was behind him.
Right,
he was
right.
going to swing.
I agree.
I think my problem is with the second one. After you've made the first one, you've seen this person. You see that they're smaller than you. You probably registered that they're a kid. So the second one maybe should have been some restraint there. But I mean, if you come up from behind me, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you've got... I'm ready to swing whatever's in your hand. There's another one away from you.
Right.
So that reaction, like, I totally get. And I don't fault, at this point, after watching it, don't fault him for turning around and whacking at the kid. But after that, the second one was a bit. And then he kind of started going after it, and then it became this whole, like, scuffle.
Yeah, people jumped in.
It should have been, like, the turn around and swing. Okay, now I know I'm okay. There's nothing else going on here.
Let security handle it.
Yeah, let somebody else take this kid away. But I'm still watching this video trying to figure out, there's a bunch of people with cameras and then the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Like, how did he get there in the first place?
Why was he there?
How did they not push him away?
Have they talked about, was he doing a report or something? Or was he, I don't know who he was and why he was there.
I don't know either. Now, the police, local police say they're investigating the whole thing. And they've said clearly the senator retaliated.
Mm-hmm. It was in response.
There was no question about that.
It's kind of like the Allie Corey story, though, that we just did. That I do still think that she... did that tastefully and appropriately,
mm-hmm.
but you turn the bad guy into a martyr when you swing on the kid or you start highlighting things, the bad behavior.
Well, you know, and the typical internet response, Twitter, Facebook, news, all this kind of thing, along those lines, Trish, is that the kid's a hero, not because he got hit, but because he did this to try to humiliate a senator. And the senator is a villain because he responded by smacking the kid. I think that's screwed up.
It is.
It is.
The kid needed a good smacking.
Yes.
Well, and you know, someone else is going to, there's going to be another egg in somebody's head sometime very soon.
But if enough people who want to hit somebody for political reasons or political differences or even for, you know, terrible viewpoints, at some point, if enough people hit back,
hopefully it'll stop.
Will people start to think twice about, oh, maybe I don't have complete immunity?
Mm-hmm. That's the whole don't let the bully push you around on the playground. It just takes you stand up to him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this bully was 17 and the senator was not.
I remember when I was a little kid and there was we didn't use the term bullies back then. I had a neighbor kid who wanted to push me around and, you know, he would, we got along most of the time, but not always. And I went running to mom and saying, this kid did this to me. And she looked at me and she goes, wait a minute. He like grabbed me by the shirt mm-hmm. or was shaking me. And my mom, I remember this to this day. My mom says, that's when you should hit him with an uppercut. He couldn't have seen that coming.
Stand up for yourself.
Basically,
I don't think there's enough of that in society.
Yeah.
I agree. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I think we agree up until the point that I just think when the adult, unfortunately, is going to suffer greater consequences, and he didn't start it. So.
Right. Well, that's the question. Should he suffer greater consequences? You let me know. 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. When you get your thoughts on this. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Mark Cox, right here on FM News Talk 97.1.